Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne. And a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life. Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special music guest for you. We're going by the one and only Manifest. How's it going?
Going good, man. How are you guys?
Hey, doing well, doing well. It's so good to hear from you. You've been super busy, and we're actually talking because, you know, you're on the 20th, you just got done releasing your first album in 5 years. What's it like being back?
You know, it's awesome, dude, like, to be, you know, with that genre that connects with my fans, and it's just funny, you know, because it's been 5 years since I've released a rock record. You know, I've released other records in between there, but, you know, it's good to be back making music that fans like, I'll tell you that, because, you know, you put stuff out, and they don't know, it doesn't always connect, and I'm not ashamed to say that sometimes we hit it, and sometimes we don't, you know? And now that we've hit it again, it feels freaking awesome to make music that fans consume and dig and share. And, you know, because it's not just about me sitting in my little room making art for myself. I'm making it for myself and for people to consume, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what is it like for you wearing multiple hats? Because like you said, you do other genres. You know, you're a rap artist, a songwriter, you're an author, you skateboard. You sing. I mean, what is it like, I guess, being so, like, multi-talented? Do you ever get overwhelmed, and how do you avoid burnout?
Well, you know, I was terrible at everything when I first started. I wasn't good at any of them. it was a really big learning curve, just learning how to rap, and then it was a completely different learning curve, learning how to sing. I'd say it was even harder. And, you know, now that I'm doing them, it's cool. You know, I don't skate as much as I used to. I need to go out today. It's so beautiful. I need to go out and skate. You know, like performing and doing all those things, you know, it starts to become second nature the more you do it. You know, this really does become really natural. And so I don't even think I think about it. Sometimes it can be overwhelming when you're releasing a record and doing all this stuff. But I've learned to hire, to have a good team around me now, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Your newest album, Stones, is, you know, it's the first rock album that you've done in 5 years. Tell me a little bit about the album's title. What's the significance behind the name?
Well, it all comes from my faith, you know. I'm a Christian, and God's really done some awesome stuff in my life. And growing up, you know, when my mom would drag me to church, a lot of people would pretend to be perfect there, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, you go there to admit that you're not perfect, and, you know, Jesus said, you know, he's without sin, cast the first stone, and so that's kind of where the concept came from, is that, look, I've got flaws, I've got things that aren't perfect, but I'm still living my life, and I'm not judging other people, but, you know, my music kind of brings up the conversation about God, because I think it's a really great way just to live.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you ever find that, you know, being so heavily involved in, like, the music industry and dealing with entertainment, that it's sometimes hard to walk that line of, you know, being a man of faith and then just kind of wanting to do what you want to do?
Yeah, just, like, every day, right? Whether it's the music industry or just what I want to do, that's really what it is, right? Like, you know, I guess the whole foundation is about kind of, like, you know, forsaking your own life and taking up, you know, to follow Jesus and stuff. And so I think it's a daily thing. But the music industry is definitely a crazy industry out of all of it. There's definitely less crazier industries and office jobs. But, you know, there's stories in anywhere, man. Like, if someone wants to find trouble and find an affair in an office job, they'll find it. They don't need to be at a rock concert to find a chick to go sleep with and throw away their marriage or do something, do drugs or whatever. It's everywhere, you know?
Right, that's right, yeah. And I think a lot of people forget that. You know, they say, you know, oh, you know, by doing this job, you're setting yourself up for, you know, temptation or whatever it may be, but it's everywhere, like you said, and you just have to know how to deal with it, you know.
Yeah, like I haven't come across cocaine once, and it's been over 10, 15 years I've been in this industry, and I've hung out with some pretty successful and gnarly dudes, and I think it's just because I'm not looking for it, you know? And I think people that are looking for trouble, they find it, you know?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely, I agree completely. Now you, let's see, I kind of want to transition. Your father died when you were at a very young age. You lost him to suicide, and I know that that's probably something that's still something that you think about to this day. What would you, you know, like for somebody that's dealing with, you know, depression or suicidal thoughts, you know, what advice would you give them or how would you suggest that they get help?
Yeah, I really think it's all in your thought life, you know, and a book that really changed things for me, and really, because it's all in your thinking, right? You're thinking this stuff, like, you have to think about something before you act on it, you know, and you have to make that decision in your mind, and that's really where the battle is. And there's a book called The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. It's sold millions of copies, and it's probably one of the best books I've ever read on getting your thinking straight, and it's like literally medicine for your mind. And I encourage everybody to read that book or get the audio book and listen to it. And let it just wash that negative thought out, because I really think that's where it all begins.
Absolutely, absolutely. How would you say, because I know, like, also around that time at a young age, you know, you were actually really making a name for yourself skating, and, you know, with the accident you had, it kind of altered your plans a little bit. How have you coped with that? Have you just kind of come to terms with that, or does it still bother you?
Well, I'm older now, so I'm not skating as much. You know, I'm surfing a lot more when I'm in California. You know, I miss it, you know, but I'm just in a different stage of my life. My daughter's really important to me and my family, but I wish I would make more time for it still, because I do kind of have the freedom now to do it if I want to do it, you know what I mean? So it's good. Sorry, man. I honestly just don't, though.
I hear you. How is it being a father now? I know that you've got a little daughter. Is it tough, you know, balancing being a father with doing, you know, the work that you do?
Touring, I don't do as much as I used to. Like, we're planning another tour, and it might be a really big one, and it might be a lot of dates that I've done in a long time. And so I'll probably figure out a way to bring my family out with me.
Okay. Very cool, very cool. I kind of want to go back to the album. Tell me a little bit about, like, what the writing process was like on this album. I know that five years is a long time. What was kind of like, what went into this album? What were you going through personally, emotionally, spiritually at the time?
Yeah, for some of the songs, I was in a bit of a dark place at one point, you know, just kind of struggling with stuff and just, you know, where I was at. Personally, I had moved, I had a daughter, you know, and the last two records hadn't done that amazingly. You know, we really thought putting this one record out independently was going to be better, even though my fans funded it and we raised a lot of money and all that, which was freaking awesome. You know, it was definitely an emotional record, but I worked with a lot of new people on this record that really stretched my songwriting. I think it's some of the best writing I've ever done. Some fans still think The Chase is better, but I'm really proud of this record and just working with Adam. I haven't worked with Adam in a while since The Moment, and he did the title track Stones, and I got to work with Howard Benson's team on a couple tracks, and they crushed it for that song When the Truth Comes Out. Like, just, I literally feel like I learned. I've been writing songs for years, and I feel like I've learned a whole bunch of new things as a songwriter on this record. So I got to grow too, which is rad.
Absolutely, absolutely. Would you say, kind of looking back at the album now, are you pleased with everything? Did everything manifest and kind of come to fruition the way that you saw them when you first started the album?
It turned out even better, man. Like, And there's one song that almost didn't make the record because I wasn't sure if I liked it or didn't. And then when it was done, it really turned out rad, and that seems to be the one a lot of people like as well. So that's funny, too, because, like, it's like, and then there's one song that I almost didn't even record because I wasn't sure, and that's now become, like, a radio single that's doing really well. It might be my highest-charting radio song. So it's so funny how things turn out when you're in the midst of just writing it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know that House of Cards has been very well received, you know, in the top 40 on the Billboard, you know, mainstream rock, as well as, you know, other charts. And that's got to be a great feeling. Is it ever trippy to hear your music on the radio?
Oh, I love it, man. It was the other day, you know, we had it on Octane while we're on tour. And sometimes I just hop in the car. I hopped in a buddy's car one time and he turned it to the station my song was playing, and it was just funny, you know. So it's just always humbling, you know.
Absolutely. Speaking of humility, what is the biggest thing that keeps you humble? I know that you are, you know, a man that's been through a whole lot, both, you know, in your own life and then, you know, of course, with your family members. But you maintain this level of humility that a lot of artists, you know, they lose. How have you been able to keep your humility and just your focus and drive?
Well, I think you said it, you know, the whole drive and the idea of dreaming. I don't think I ever sometimes feel like I've arrived. I always have goals and stuff like that, and I think always keeping a bigger dream in front of the next dream. And when I reach a certain level, I'm always trying to go to the next, and that kind of always keeps me hungry and humbled and just excited, you know, to try something new.
Absolutely. What would you say is, like, the biggest takeaway that you want people, you know, specifically listeners of your music to take away from your music? I know that when you talk about things like legacy and just, you know, overall message and theme, it kind of scares a lot of people off, but you seem like you are well-rooted and grounded, and it seems like you want to have fun, you want, you know, people to enjoy your music and to have fun, but I know that there's probably a deeper message behind, you know, the music that you do. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, there's always the theme of to never quit, you know, and kind of sum that up is the idea of just don't park, you know, don't stay stagnant in your life, and don't waste it, you know, don't kill it off either, don't give up, like we talked about, as far as even suicide and stuff, and even the end title track on Stones, the song's called I Won't Give Up, and I'd say that's a pretty common weave theme throughout all my music and what I'm about.
Absolutely. I love it. What would you say to yourself, I guess your 12-year-old self, like looking back now and seeing, you know, how far you've come and the success that you've had, if you could talk to your younger self, what advice would you give?
Man, well, I'd tell my 12-year-old self, freaking exercise and lose weight, you fat idiot. I was overweight at that age, but man, I probably would have said, hey man, start sooner, you know, don't wait for someone to approve your dream, start your dream now, start making money now, start saving now, you know, don't date a whole bunch of chicks, just date one, so be patient for the right one,
right,
save the heartache.
No doubt, that's some good advice, that's some really good advice.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to ask you, now your single House of Cards is doing really, really well. We talked about this a little bit earlier. What is, I guess, the story behind the song? What does it mean to you as the songwriter yourself?
It talks about someone being sick and tired of the situation they're in, and they're just, like, so fed up. And, you know, and saying, like, look, I don't want to live like this anymore, but I refuse to call it quits, you know? Like, Something's got to change here, and I'm kind of turning a corner here, you know, in my life. Whatever I got to do to make that happen. That's a really powerful song to me. When I perform that, I get pretty emotional still.
Absolutely. Yeah, it resonates really well with people because it's such a powerful song. And like you said, I mean, we've all been there. No matter, like, our walk of life, you know, what we believe in, we've all have just been to a place to where we're just, you know, we want to reset and a reboot, you know, and this song definitely, you know, it highlights that, and it's very, very much relatable.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you, your plans for a tour upcoming, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Do you know, I guess, or do you have any plans on when the tour will be?
I know it'll be in the fall, I think September to November time frame. Now, I know I have an idea of who some of the artists might be, but it's not 100% final, so I can't say anything, but... right now, the only thing we got on the books is we got something near San Diego, California. We got something in Murfreesboro, and then I got a festival in Switzerland on the books right now, and then more dates kind of coming in.
Very nice. Okay, so you got some good stuff in the works.
Yeah, man.
I love it. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to open the floor to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Yeah, I just want to say, hey, thanks for listening to my music. If they want, the cool thing we can do, being independent, people go to manifest.com/stones. They can get the CD for $10, free shipping worldwide, and that's a pretty special thing that we got when they just go to manifest.com/stones, and got like a fold-out poster in there, and that's one of the cool things about being indie we can do. We can get the music out there to the fans a lot cheaper for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome. $10 and free shipping. I mean, you can't beat that. That's an amazing deal.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's right.
I love it. Man, that's what's up.
Yeah, dude.
Well, Chris, thank you so much, man.
Well,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. Sorry, I'm late, man. I apologize for that. But, dude, great interview and appreciate the support, bro.
Absolutely, yeah, man. You were right on time, and yeah, it's cool. Like I was able to just glean so much from us talking, and you really inspired me. So thank you. Like I really appreciate it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, dude, have a great weekend, man.
All right, you too.
Okay, buddy.
See you.
Okay, bye.
Guys, that was Manifest. You can check out the link to his website. We'll put it in the body of this post. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Chris. We're also available for Android users. If you've got Android of any kind, you can listen to us by downloading the Google Play Music app. Just go to the Google Play Store, search Google Play Music, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You'll hear this interview with Chris of Manifest. And lastly, if you've got a Roku player or a Roku smart television, you can listen to over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews, all free of charge. Just go to the Roku channel store, search for our show name. Once you download the app, you can begin streaming our show, all free of charge.
Louder Than Life is back with Ozzy Osbourne and a rare appearance from Prophets of Rage. Louder Than Life, Saturday, September 30th and Sunday, October 1st. Go to louderthanlifefestival.com for everything.